Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know what disease a physician in the 16th century believed tobacco helped cure? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing allergic rhinitis with Lydia Georgie, primary care clinical pharmacist at Better Health Consultants, and Margaret Felzak, assistant professor at Midwestern University in the College of Pharmacy. Georgie described what exactly allergic rhinitis is and how to differentiate allergies in this specific condition.
Allergies are a type 1 hypersensitivity, which involves the production of immunoglobulin E antibodies that bind to harmless allergens and induce mast cell degranulation, leading to an allergic reaction. To elaborate a little bit more, I'll just explain how the process goes. First, the patient gets exposed to the allergen, and then the patient's immune system mistakenly recognizes the allergen as potentially harmful. Now, what happens next is the formation of the allergen-specific plasma cells that secrete the immunoglobulin E antibodies. The allergen-specific immunoglobulin E antibodies persist in the body after the clearance of the allergy. And upon a second exposure to the allergen, the preformed immunoglobulin E binds the allergen, creating an allergen antibody complex. That allergen antibody complex binds to the mast cells, causing them to degranulate, releasing inflammatory molecules into the blood, and that includes histamine and leukotrienes and other inflammatory mediators. Those inflammatory mediators increase vascular permeability, result in smooth muscle contraction and airways, increase mucus secretion, and inflammatory cells are recruited. These changes occur in various body tissues. When they specifically occur in the respiratory tract in response to pollen or environmental triggers, in this case, it is allergic rhinitis to airborne particles like pollen and dust. Allergic rhinitis can be further classified into perennial or all year round or seasonal, which is during a certain period of time during the year.
Felzak continued to explain the non-pharmacological options for allergic rhinitis and how to determine when pharmacological options are necessary.
Allergen avoidance is usually tried first to prevent allergy symptoms. However, non-pharmacological therapy is fundamental to any treatment plan and should be used with pharmacotherapy once initiated. For our outdoor allergens, such as pollen and molds, there is little that can be done short of limiting contact with the outside world. Since we can't do that, patients with sensitivity to pollen and mold allergens can employ several measures during peak seasons when their symptoms are most severe. These include, one, being out to avoid being outside when pollen counts are highest, which is usually early AM, and on warm and windy days, stay indoors if possible on those days. Two, keep your windows closed inside your home and car on these days as well. Use your air conditioner to filter the air. Three, showering if you're outside for a prolonged period of time and or before bed to remove allergens from the hair or skin to reduce contamination of bedding. And four, over-the-counter saline sprays such as air or sinus rinses, such as Sinumed, can be used to wash allergens from nasal passages after exposure. For indoor allergens, such as pets, you can limit contact with animals that trigger your allergies or at minimum keep the pets out of your bedroom. Secondly, you can remove pet hair and dust from living areas frequently by vacuuming daily. And then you can use HEPA filtered vacuums. And then remember to replace those filters as recommended by the manufacturer. Reduce your indoor humidity to less than 50% if possible. And then consider air purifiers with HEPA filters if possible as well. Be sure to repair any indoor water leaks and optimize venting to reduce the risk of mold inside the home. Keep pets off of furniture if possible. And as mentioned, clean and dust regularly. If you can, this is a little more expensive, but remove carpeting from bedroom and other rooms. Possibly use hardwood flooring or linoleum instead. And then, again, an expensive one, but replace upholstered furniture with leather, vinyl, or wood. After that, these are employed, usually a patient will move to pharmacological strategies once symptoms become persistent and affect their quality of life.
We are taking a short break to celebrate pharmacy hero Ted Raitz, owner of Grass Lake Community Pharmacy in Grass Lake, Michigan. Raitz always picks up pharmacist shifts when needed, provides patient care with a smile, and leads the pharmacy team with positivity and gratitude. Raitz started the Warrior RX Relief Fund during the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic to support community members who may not be able to afford their prescriptions. The fund is supported through donations from the community, including a donation by Raitz himself. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. Georgie mentioned that when creating a treatment plan for a patient who may be experiencing these symptoms or is diagnosed with allergic rhinitis, there is an action plan that exists that is best to follow.
The American College of Asthma and Immunology put together an allergic rhinitis action plan for patients that follows a stepwise approach based on symptom severity. Step one, which is infrequent symptoms or symptoms that are not daily and there's no interference with daily activities most of the days. And usually medications are taken only as needed. Step two, there are mild but frequent symptoms before treatment. So the nasal symptoms are mild and on a regular basis and results in mild interference with activities. Usually medications are taken daily and it's usually one class of medications. Step three, are moderate symptoms before treatment are not controlled with step two medications. And then in step three, the nasal symptoms are moderate, occur on a regular basis, and present moderate interference with activities. Usually two medications are taken in this step. Step four is moderate to severe symptoms before treatment or not controlled with step three medications. Symptoms are daily and they interfere severely with activities. Medications noted are 2 to 3 medications and or change of more than one medication. Step five, which is severe and not controlled with step four medications. And in this step, patient cannot function in usual activities. Based on the steps above, the American College of Asthma and Immunology recommends an action plan in the case of increased nasal symptoms in the event of the start of an allergy season or being exposed to triggers. So first, the patient takes their usual medication and then follows action A, B, or C. Action A is incomplete response to usual medications, increased nasal or eye symptoms, then the patient moves up one step. Action B is incomplete response to action A added medications after 24 hours. In this case, the patient moves up one more step. In action C, the incomplete response to action B added medications after 24 hours. Then the patient moves up one more step again. And in any case, if the patient reaches step five, they need to call their physician. Furthermore, they categorize the control or management of nasal symptoms into controlled, fairly controlled, and non-controlled categories with the green zone, yellow zone, and red zone, respectively. Control means there's no interference of activities, less than 2 days per week of nasal or eye symptoms, and the patient stays at the same step or moves down if directed. For fair control, there's mild interference with activities, 2 to 6 days per week of nasal or eye symptoms. With not controlled category or the red zone, it's moderate to severe interference with activities and daily moderate to severe nasal or eye symptoms.
As for any existing drug products that can be used to treat allergic rhinitis, Felzac listed many of the treatments available that are over-the-counter ready for patients to use.
There are several drug products for allergic rhinitis available over-the-counter. The first intranasal corticosteroid was approved as an RX to over-the-counter switch back in 2014. This was Flonase. This was later followed by Nasacort and Rhinocort. And then as of March of 2022, Nasonex was approved by the FDA as well. So we have several nasal preparations available over the counter. These are indicated first line for moderate to severe persistent allergic rhinitis. They do cover all the symptoms of allergic rhinitis, including ocular, and they block six substances as opposed to just one with your oral antihistamines. So most of these are very similar in efficacy and just differ by dosing, cost, patient preference in case of side effects. Some side effects could be bitter taste and nasal dryness. So some products, you know, are a little different in their, whether they have alcohol or not, et cetera. Intranasal corticosteroids should be used daily throughout allergy season for seasonal allergies and year round for perennial allergies. They are need to be used on a consistent basis to offer the most benefit. As Lydia mentioned, you know, for mild or intermittent symptoms, we have the non-drowsy antihistamines over the counter, such as Claritin or Allegra, Zyrtec or Zizol, are just to name a few. These products are used for treatment of runny nose, sneezing, and itching. Then there are treatment for specific problems, such as for congestion. We have oral decongestants like Sudafed or nasal decongestants like Afrin. Patients should look closely at labels to look at warnings for other health conditions, such as high blood pressure. You shouldn't use oral decongestants like Sudafed because that can raise your blood pressure. Also with nasal decongestants, they should not be used for more than 3 days, such as Afrin, due to rebound congestion. So they really need to read the labels carefully and make sure they ask their pharmacist for recommendations. Another symptom for ocular symptoms, ocular eye drops that are antihistamine eye drops like Pataday. And then for people looking for non-steroid options, we have Cromolyn nasal inhaler over the counter. As far as things coming through the pipeline, there is going to be another RX to OTC switch with the nasal antihistamines, such as Astepro, that will become available later this year. We have some new prescription nasal sprays coming down the pipeline. One is called Ryaltris. And finally, exciting news, we have some contact lenses that will be embedded with ketotifen, which is an oral antihistamine, and that will be a huge benefit for allergy sufferers who also wear contacts, since it can be very cumbersome to, you know, put in eye drops and do the required waiting to put in your contacts, et cetera. So this will be really exciting coming in 2022.
Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? The disease that a physician in the 16th century believed a tobacco could cure was cancer. The Spanish physician Nicolás Menores published a book on the medicinal plants brought to Europe from the New World, titling the book Joyful News Out of the Newfound World. The book had a glowing review of tobacco's healing properties for more than 20 diseases, including a statement on its ability to cure cancer. During this period of tobacco growth, the French ambassador to the Portuguese court, Jean Nicot, arrived in Lisbon in 1559 and was quickly introduced to the drug. Although he was an ambassador by trade, he also fancied himself a physician and developed an ointment from tobacco leaves. Following its popularity in France, tobacco snuff quickly became trendy in royal courts across Europe in the 16th century. Gradually, tobacco made its way down to the peasantry from the aristocracy, and it was embraced as the fashionable drug of the moment throughout Europe. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode, where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.